So this reading is taken from Matthew 2, verse 1 to 18. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, because they are no more."
Please do take a seat. Wasn't that nativity absolutely fantastic? I think we should give them all another round of applause. An amazing amount of hard work went into that. And I don't know about you, but I was absolutely gripped. And it's not surprising, really, is it? You see, we all love a good story. Whether it's a true story like we just had acted out for us, or a made-up one, we're all suckers for a good story. So much so that companies like Disney and Pixar seem to have come up with basically a recipe for a good story, and they can churn out great story after great story. And I don't know whether you've noticed, but they all seem to have goodies and baddies. You have the good guys and you have the bad guys. And I think we love that because it feels so much like real life. You have all these good people, and then you have a few baddies who are trying to spoil everything. And the beauty of these stories is that almost every time, the goodies win, the good guys win. And we all love a happy ending. You only have to look at your favourite Christmas films to see that this is true. So I have a bit of a game to play. There's going to be a picture come on the screen of baddies from popular Christmas films, and you need to guess what the film is from the picture. So we'll have our first picture up. Who knows what film this is? Shout it out. Home Alone, fantastic. Two baddies, very famous. Number two, The Grinch, fantastic. Another horrendously bad guy, great film. Next one, what's his name? Hans, great film. Hans from Frozen. Seems like the good guy turns out to be the bad guy. Finally, number four. It's from The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Fantastic. Does anyone know her name? Jadith. Fantastic. Better known as? The White Witch. Fantastic. So that's The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. All these films are films that we love to watch. They'll probably all be on TV at Christmas. And all of them have baddies in them, don't they, that we love to hate. I don't know about you, but I sometimes get so into films that I find myself shouting at the TV, run away from him. He's behind you. He's coming. And so we love it when the good guys win. Well, I have one final picture for us. Who is this famous baddie? Me, better known as King Herod. Fantastic. Not Shrek. King Herod. You see, King Herod is another famous bad guy. The true story of that first Christmas is no different. It has a very clear bad guy, King Herod. We heard in our reading earlier that Herod knew who Jesus was. He knew that Jesus was the Christ. He knew that he was God's promised king. He even asked the chief priests where God's promised king was to be born. He knew that Jesus was the king that God had promised to send, the king that they were all waiting for. And yet in our story earlier, we heard just how he responded. Herod doesn't go to bow down to him. He doesn't go to worship him, no. Instead, Herod tries to kill him. Herod was so bothered about staying king himself that he'd rather kill King Jesus than bow down to him. He knew that Jesus was the real king. He knew that the right response was to bow down to him. But you see, Herod himself was in charge. He was number one, and that is where he wanted to stay. He didn't want someone else coming in and telling him what he could and couldn't do. He was the boss. He wanted to call the shots. He didn't want to have to listen to anybody else. Everything revolved around him, and that's the way he wanted it to stay. And so Herod is willing to do the horrifying thing of killing all the children under the age of two just to try and get rid of Jesus. You see, Herod wanted God off the scene. Herod is truly one of the worst villains. He really is a horrible man. I mean, when you put on a nativity like this one, everyone is fighting to be Mary and Joseph, aren't they? I remember when I was at school, I wanted to be Joseph, got it once, very proud. But you want to be Mary or Joseph, or you want to be the wise men or the angels. But no one wants to be Herod. That's exactly why I had to play Herod in this nativity. You see, we are rightly shocked and appalled by King Herod in this true story. And yet, I think that as we look a bit longer at this story, there is something even more shocking. You see, when I look and I think to myself, who am I like in this story? The answer isn't the wise men, it's not the angels, no. If I'm truly honest with myself, the answer is, I'm like King Herod. I have treated King Jesus just like Herod did. In fact, the Bible says that we all have. Did you hear the last reading in our nativity? John chapter 1, verse 11 says this, He, that's Jesus, came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. You only have to look at the rest of Jesus' life to see that Herod wasn't alone in how he treated Jesus. Eventually, Jesus was killed not by Herod. No, by then, crowds of people wanted Jesus dead. They wanted King Jesus off the scene. And that is our natural response too. We all have a bit of King Herod in us now. We may not have tried to kill Jesus, but the Bible says that, like Herod, we've all said with our actions that we don't want Jesus to be king over us. We'd wish he would just go away. We've almost wished that he was dead. Why? Well, if we're honest, it's because, like Herod, when it comes to our lives, we want to be in charge. We want to be number one. We don't want someone else telling us what to do. The way we see it, we're the boss of our own lives. We call the shots. We don't want to have to listen to anybody else. Everything revolves around us, and that's the way we want it to stay. We've said to God, "Shove off, God. I'm in charge. No to your ways." And the Bible says that that's the definition of sin. Shove off, God. S. I'm in charge. I. No to your ways. Sin. It's rebellion against God and his rule. And like Herod, every one of us has done it. We've all said to King Jesus, we don't want him to be king over us. Our response to King Jesus is just as shocking and appalling as Herod's is. And yet the true story of that first Christmas is a good news story. Look back to Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. It's on your sheet. We read it earlier. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. It says this. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The truth is that we have rebelled against God. We have rejected his king. And yet the Bible tells us that is exactly why the Lord Jesus came down that first Christmas. He came down not just as a man. No, he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And he came with a mission. To deal with our biggest problem. To deal with our sin, our rebellion against God that separates us from him. A problem that only God could save us from. That was the plan before Jesus was born. Jesus wasn't to stay a baby in a manger. No, he was born to rescue us. He was born to die on a cross for those who have rejected him, at the hands of those he was dying to save. It is through Jesus' death that we can become friends with God, as the King of the whole universe died for us. And so as we finish, the question for us is, will we be willing to do what King Herod wouldn't? Having come face to face with King Jesus, will we bow down to him as king? Will we make him ruler of our lives? Will we accept the rescue that he offers? Jesus is the king. Even Herod knew that to be true. But the question is, will we make him our king this Christmas? Well, our final song tells us just how Jesus showed himself to be king in his life and death. So let's stand and sing, "Jesus is the King."